So you don't have my little statement up there, do you, Russ? Okay, it's all right if you don't. I'm used to that. Oh, there it is. There you go. But I should, it's not a sermon. It's a word of encouragement, but it's more my thoughts. So if you feel like I'm preaching at you, that's your problem. I'm just kind of maybe talking to myself a little bit too here, you know. And you heard this morning, and she kind of finished up with her song there about this difficult times we live in. And I'm thinking about the culture, you know. I read the paper still. I probably shouldn't, but I do. And especially the PD, my goodness. Anyway, the culture we live in, I've written some notes here. I'm just going to run down these, and then I'll get to the point. But we're living in a time of despair, anger, hopelessness, anxiety, and fear. Now, if you're not having some of that, then you're not being honest with yourself. I don't care how close you get to the Lord, there are times when it is difficult, okay? We seem to have no trust in our dealings with each other. We used to make deals with a handshake. I know some of you, I know the ladies, but at least the guys, you know, we used to make with a handshake, and now we have to have a contract, 50 pages long, with an attorney that did it for us at $500 an hour, and still we worry that we're going to lose something. This is business today. We worry about tomorrow. Is or when will the next big earthquake hit? We live in that area, right? Are we going to be in a nuclear war? Will the economy collapse? We hear Christians are being persecuted and killed for their faith. And I forget how many abortions a year. I mean, it's a mess. So is this the end times? I remember on TV last when Katrina, I got that right. My wife was bugging me. I was calling it Katrina, but it's Katrina. That thing happened down there in Louisiana, and it devastated the place. And people are still there trying to make it work. And there was a picture on TV of a lady standing in the middle of this street that was just a mess with nothing. She barely had any clothes on. And she cried out, "Somebody's got to do something." You talk about hopeless. I don't know, have you ever been there? Ever been where you feel like you can't do anymore? You know, it came to my mind. This happened to me once. It makes you not want to get out of bed. It's so, and some, of course, some don't, you know, to face that next day. The culture we live in seems to be driven by a 24/7 news today. Constantly questioning. If you watch the news, it questions everything with a negative thought. No trust. As a society, we're taught that men, here's the part that I like, being an old contractor, we're taught that men can fix anything. We can solve it. Whether you go to school or you just go to work, you can solve it. Whether it's sickness, social engineering, we have the answer in us to solve anything that comes our way. And thinking about these last couple of earthquakes, and people had a mindset about, well, maybe this is the end times, right? Because in Matthew 24, it talks about how all these things are going to increase. But here's a guy, I don't know, maybe you know this guy, Roger Delgado. He lives in Sebastopol. He wrote a letter to the editor this week. And I thought this was kind of interesting. I don't think he's a Christian, but anyway. The worst decade of hurricanes in U.S. history was in the 1880s, when the U.S. suffered damage from 25 hurricanes. Think about that. We've had two. The worst year was 1886 with 7 hurricanes. In 1893, 2 hurricanes in the U.S. killed 1,000 people and 2,000 combining all those hurricanes. The worst U.S. hurricane was in Galveston, Texas in 1900, 8,000 deaths. The world, like in the 1800s, the world was 1.4 degrees cooler. There were no cars in the U.S., few oil wells, and the world population was a tenth of today's. Maybe Chicken Little is wrong. Maybe we don't have all the answers. Maybe we can't fix it. This guy came to a realization that, you know, global warming or however they plan on fixing it is not the answer, you know. You know, we think we can outsmart ourselves. Now, I know the teachers here. I know you guys do a great job, and education's great. But man's education is not what God is looking for. He's not looking for to make you better, more peaceful. We tend to outsmart ourselves by leaving him out of the equation. The result is there's no peace. We heard that today in some of the songs, peace. What's peace? I had two guys come to my door yesterday. Nancy was there. And they had an answer for that. They had the Awake magazine. Have you seen that? I handed them the Answer magazine, which gives testimonies of men who have come to Christ, you know. So we had this exchange. And they were talking about peace. And everybody's going to try to sell you all kind of peace programs. But as we're going to look through the scripture here, you're going to find out that there's only one way to real peace. There's only one way. And it's Jesus. And that's all through the Word, and it's all through the results that I've experienced. The world's culture has not changed in all these years. I mean, you're just describing the end times. When you think about the Romans, we were in Rome several years ago, and we went to the Colosseum. Now, the Colosseum, that was during Jesus' time, was it not? I think it was pretty close in there, maybe a couple of years off. And in a construction background I had, I wanted to see how they built it. Always curious, you know. Well, it was concrete and brick. And what was interesting, here was the interesting part. And this is over 2,000 years ago. They chose the low bidder. It was a bid job, and it was done with 5,000 workers, and they built it in a way that they could construct it in a very short time. It was done on budget, in time, and it was insured. It had what's called a bond on it that it would work. It was incredible. Nothing's changed. Everything's the same, only we're trying to do it faster and so-called better, but we're trying to do it quicker. But all these things that we think is happening, that our country is becoming so marvelous and all these great things, nothing's changed. So how are we supposed to live in this environment? This environment is, quoting Jesus and Paul, is run by a guy named Satan. And I think a lot of us have a hard time understanding that you could, that's a real thing. Sometimes it's like, we say good and evil, and evil's kind of, but it's real. And that's why you have so much mess and confusion and hopelessness. So how do we survive in that? I think, so now, you know, one thing you got to be careful about is, now, you guys don't next week run on to Rick and tell him all this stuff that I said that was wrong or something, you know. Be nice. And again, I'm not saying you do this. I'm just giving you some thoughts of how I've been thinking, okay? I think it starts in John chapter 14. So if you have a Bible, you want to look at it, I think. Verse 1. This is a pretty pointed. And this is Jesus talking, you know, before he went to be with the Lord. He said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." So, can you do that? That's the question. Can you really trust in God? You can't see him, can't touch him, can't feel him. Can you really trust? And then he goes on to say later on in verse 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth." Here's the interesting part. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. Their answers are somewhere else. But he, the Holy Spirit in you, will lead you on to all truth. That's easily said, right? We can stand up and talk and use scripture, and these guys were popping scripture at me yesterday. They're using Psalm 37 to kind of get me hooked or something. I don't know what they were doing, but anyway, I took their Awake and I gave them the answer, and then I tore up the Awake. I'm sorry, I didn't read it. I wonder if they, I don't know if they read mine or not. So when we, you know, another thing, we watch this program, Blue Blood. We love this thing because it has a Sunday night dinner. Some of you have seen that. And it's Catholic, but it's neat, you know. It's precious. Family comes together. But they pray. And they use the same prayer that most other denominations use also, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I think that's as close to people get to the Holy Ghost as they do. They say the name. They forget about the part that we just read that said he's going to come and live in you, right? If you look at all through John 14, that's kind of the 13 and 14 kind of leads up to that. The reason that Christ left was that you could receive the Holy Spirit. And that to me is the exciting part. And so we need to allow him to have more time in our life. Not just talk about it, not just come to church and we're in the holy place. The holy place is in here. That's where we need to spend our time. That's how we get through these difficult times. When I think about this last week, the one boy has accepted the Lord, but he's walking, but he's scared because his mama's gone, and he's got a sister who's, 52, I'm guessing, and she can't do anything for herself, and who's going to do that now? So he's at a loss, but he forgot about the part that's in here. There's an answer. He answers everything. When we go through trials, I've been through a couple, and you all been through a couple. Some of you are going through it right now. And the only way for us to really get together and get peace is to allow him to lead us and guide us and spend time with him. You know, I'm bouncing around a little bit, but I'm thinking about how we spend time. We have prayer and share here, and we come to church, and we open the Word. But how much time do we listen to him? How much time do you actually open your ears and just stop and listen for an answer? Sometimes I notice that when we pray, we in our mind, we know, okay, here's the problem. I pray that doctor will do this, and that professional will do this, or that banker will give me money, or something will, you know, we've got the answer before we ask it. And here we are asking it to happen in a certain way. We probably get an answer and don't even know it. It just goes by us. We need to stop and listen to the Lord and listen to what the Spirit in you is saying. It's an example is, I'm going to say this anyway, honey, but a few weeks ago or a month ago maybe, Nancy had a word for my sister-in-law, Mary, and it was about how God has prepared a place for her. And you know, that's not easy to deliver something like that. You know what I mean? And now when they find out that she's done all these things and told the kids what to do, without telling them personally, but written it all down. And so she went to be in that place that God has prepared. Now, you don't just do that. That has to be the Spirit in you. So you delivered a very difficult message, but it was well received. So you just never know, huh? I think you got to stop and listen. In John 16, let's see, that's two chapters past 14. I got that much. In John 16, let's say we could start with 22 and go down. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy. Have you got that joy? You know, you got to get it to get robbed of it. Yeah. Again, the joy is what Jesus is coming in you, you know. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant you a request because you use my name. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. Easy stuff to read, right? So are you doing that? Am I doing that? Are we doing that? In other words, I think when you come to this word, and you come to the realization that you've asked Christ in your life, and he's now supposedly leading and guiding you, that joy is there. And it's only there if you let it. You know, it's having to let go of all of the things that are being taught and said in the world, and becoming, what do they call it, a fanatic? I wonder if we shouldn't be fanatics if we're going to survive. I think about these places where these folks are getting crucified, like in the Mideast. They're getting killed for saying the name, or refusing. Or saying out loud that Christ is all, and they've accepted Christ. That's a death sentence to some places, and it's happening today, not yesterday, but today. In a good amount of time. It's incredible. And they're killing unborn childs that are just about ready to come out. Some horrible things going on. And the only way to survive all this, think about if you're going through a rough time, and whether it's like Rebecca said, mental or physically, the perfect time to find joy. Because you start to focus on the Lord, not on everything that's around you. You focus on Him. And it is an encouragement to you. When you think about it, there's no way you can fight the battle, whether it's mental or physical, yourself. Most of us can't. Some people can, maybe. But I don't think they're going to win. I think the only way you win is the victory is in the Lord. So your trust shouldn't be in human wisdom, but in the power of God. And in 1 Corinthians, I think we could find that. 1 Corinthians, I want to make sure you don't think I'm just spitting a bunch of stuff at you. Paul, I like Paul, because he was such a bad guy before, and he turned, and he's such a good guy. And he's only a good guy because he's allowed Christ to take a hold of him and lead him and direct him, physically and mentally. So in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, in verse 4. And I like this because he felt he couldn't talk real good. And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and pervasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Now here's a guy who was well educated, right? He was a sharp guy, top guy up in the... was he a Pharisee, Janlin? Yeah, okay. See, she knows this stuff. I don't know this stuff. But anyway, he was a bright guy, but he took all of that as meaning nothing. He allowed the Lord to just open his mouth and say what he had to say. The other thing that we talked about today was peace. I heard peace a lot. In Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 1. Mine probably sound a little different than yours. Does my Bible sound a little different? No? It's called the Living. It's the living Word. It's kind of fun. It doesn't have too many these and thous, you know. Okay, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, we have been made right in God's sight by faith. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Later on, down in verse 3, we can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Oh my, so we gotta, it doesn't get over in one snap and we're done. It's a walk. Every step is a walk. It makes you want to pray all day long, right? 24/7 instead of listening to people eat each other up. And I'm thinking about this peace thing. This is somewhat troubling. One of the first scriptures that I ever grabbed a hold of 40 years ago, my Lord, time goes by. And it was one in Philippians, in the fourth chapter. That's a great chapter, Philippians, very encouraging. And it says, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And then I was in a young, learning how to be a business guy, and the scripture did a little bit further down in verse 19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. And I guess when I first read it, I thought he would just supply everything for me. You know, I didn't have that the thought of needs, what my needs are. It wasn't the big truck and all the other stuff. My needs, and he's done that. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. And how do we get from talking about it and saying it like Father, Son, Holy Spirit, joy, using words that are just nice words, but how do we get them in here? That's the difficult part. Because so much of the distraction that comes upon us, you know, whether we're driving a car, and I ran into somebody out here a couple weeks ago, you know, it's so easy to get distracted. You see something on the news like, oh my God, this is a mess, you know. It grabs your attention away from where you should be walking with the Lord. I think about those, they call them monks, right? Monks. Was Father John a monk or something like that? Well, yeah, but in that sense of the old world, the old type of religions, they had guys that all they did was pray all day.
Monastic.
Yeah, they just prayed. And you notice how they're always happy. Think about that. And we can't even, you know, spend a few minutes before we got an appointment, or we got to take care of the kids or the grandkids or the... Fortunately, we don't have any great grandkids yet, but we got all these things to do and have to do and get done before the store closes. But when do we start to get serious about walking with him and allowing this Holy Spirit that we've asked in our life to have control? I remember it was a couple of years ago, I went to Russia and went to speak at what we call a businessman's meeting. You know, it was a place where they brought people, and then a man would get up and share a story how Christ has impacted his life. And they were looking for a successful businessman from America. This was in Siberia, which had gotten all commercialized with oil and gas and everything. And so the young people in their 20s and 30s were doing business, and things were happening, and they were wanting new ideas and how to get bigger and whatever you want to call it. And none of them had been brought up with a Bible or near a Bible or near a church or anything. These were all, they were clean. They didn't have any words in them about it. And so I was nervous. I don't like to speak anyway, unless it's just a couple of guys. But anyway, so I was flying over there, and the Lord seemed to give me the words. He says he will, you know. So he did. So we're in an airplane. I'm writing down this stuff. And so when I get there, I told him, this group of young entrepreneurs, there's about 50 of them there, 40 or 50, in a nightclub of all places, right? So I told him, I says, I tell you what, the Lord gave me a word when I come over here in this airplane. And they're looking at me like, you know, you're off the wall. They were looking for something like from Bill Gates or something, you know. I don't, because they're all in the internet, you know. They all know everything, right? The internet, that's great. That tells you everything. My word. So I said, no. He gave me these three words that are the secret to success, the secret. And the first word was surrender. I lost them right there. Their eyes just went flat. They almost left me. And looking, huh? Where did we come? So, and I talked about how I had surrendered to Jesus in my earlier life, and I gave up. I couldn't be the guy anymore. I ran into a guy once. He came into where I was working. He says he wanted to be the guy. Now Jesus wants to be the guy. And I let Jesus be the guy. I gave up. I had all these things I wanted to do and be, and so I gave up. I said I surrendered. Not that I turned my life around. I've heard that. No, I surrendered. I gave up. I surrendered. Okay, you win, I lose. Put myself down. So they're kind of getting ready to get up and go, and I'm still talking. And I said, the next S was what, Nancy? Submission. Well, because it wasn't coming to my mind. See, I wasn't waiting for the Lord, and then the Lord gave it to me, you know. See, I was being impatient. Submission. And then I went into that, and how I got into the Word and read about Him, and I submitted to His way. And they're kind of still there, and this is all taking place in about 20 minutes, you know, pretty short deal. So, and then the one that really blew him off the wall was this third S is servanthood. Oh my God. These people were almost like, slaves in the economy they were in before. They watched their parents, you know, do nothing and get nothing and barely eat. And so I went through that part about giving, and, you know, and then the Lord blesses you and you do it, yeah. So I thought I'd blown the whole deal. And in a nightclub, remember, this is nighttime in a nightclub. I don't think there were, well, they might have been serving booze, I forget. But it's a young crowd and I'm an old guy. You know, how is this working? This is not possible. Then I said boldly, how many of you would like to take this journey that I've taken? What would you think about that? Half of them stood up. This is a nightclub. This is not a church. This is not an environment where you have the music and you get it all set up. You know, none of that. This is flat, bam. And I started to see tears in people, young kids. And they had never seen a Bible, never, you know, they hadn't seen anything. It was incredible. God touched them. Not because of me, but because the anointing, because God used a vessel. Just like Paul said, it's not my words. It's His, but you have to back off and let Him have it. I think that's our biggest kind of first two steps anyway. Let Him have you, and then let the Holy Spirit move. That's not easy. We always think we have a better way. If I do it this way, this will work good, you know? Not the way He wants to do it. But His ways are not our ways, right? You know, He's got His own program, and I think we miss it most of the time. If we would get with it, we'd have a much better time. We'd be more joyful and happy in the midst of calamity. You know, because you think you had a bad day yesterday. Wait till tomorrow. I mean, you're fighting. You're in a world that is ruled by Satan. You don't hear that very often, but it's all through the Scripture. He's in charge right now. We're aliens, right? We're aliens. We're supposed to be. And so we should be focused on Him and not on all this other craziness or this, what did they try to do? You know, churches today do a lot of, I don't want to say it right, but they tend to commercialize the whole operation. You know, I've been in churches where one guy, he wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit flying or something. A big airplane came down out of the ceiling, you know, and angels and wings. I mean, real stuff, you know. And dry ice comes up off the floor. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in those. Some church, they do this. It's really dramatic, you know. You guys been around it, yeah. That's not. It could be, but it really isn't Jesus. Jesus is about you being you, letting the Lord use you. So that's my encouragement today. You can find joy. You can find peace, perfect peace. It is available, and it's for us. And I think it's as simple as saying, yes, Lord, and staying in the game. because it's a rocky road. Now it's not, there's nothing, you know, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, everything's cool. No. It's a battle. But it's worth it if you walk in it and you lock, you know, just let him roll you through it. His reward is in heaven. You know, I haven't done much of this, but I did a funeral, and it was for my, Katie, were you there? For my grandparents? Yeah.
The doubleheader.
Yeah, the doubleheader, right. They both died within 24 hours of each other, so we had two caskets. And the old family was too cheap to get a pastor, so they, you can do it, they said. Okay, I'll do it. So, but, you know, the Lord gave me a scripture, and my grandfather was 95, she was 94 or something like that. They were well on their way. And I remember old grandpa, 2 or 3 years before then, I brought the guy was in from Texas speaking in one of our groups, and I brought him my grandpa was in the hospital for something. And so we went there, and this old boy had a big bakery down in Texas and sort of retired at the time. But he'd been a farmer at one time, and my grandfather was an old farmer. That's tenant farmer in the middle of the country. And he, they had no water. They had, it was, I went and saw the little place they had stayed in. It's terrible. So they started, my buddy was a Baptist guy, okay? And nobody can bring somebody to the Lord like a Baptist. It's incredible. He started talking about the farming days, and the next thing you know, my old farmer buddy, he says, the baker, he says, "So, have you ever asked Christ into your life?" And my grandpa says, "No." "Would you like to?" "Yeah." 92, 93 years old. Yeah, incredible. I mean, just out of the blue, this came. And as they're praying, you know, little grandpa got some tears coming down. I didn't see much of a change in him, but I did see the point where he said, yeah, you know, that he'd been through some stuff, and yeah, he would. So, you never know. But so we're at the funeral. First time I'd ever done a funeral. Had no clue what to do. Hadn't been to many, actually. And so the scripture came to me, in my father's house are many mansions, right? And the carpenter thing, you know. So he doesn't have to build his own. He doesn't have to build his own house. It's all built for him, and it's perfect. And I thought, well, that's for me, too. I like that part. Get tired of banging a hammer, Ron, you know? Gets old after a while. But he's got a perfect place for us. And we know that. And knowing that alone should bring enough peace and joy into your life. And I'm talking too much, I can tell. She's looking at me. Yes, I will. I will finish. That's it. You've heard it all. So let's go away encouraged, huh? Let me just quickly. Lord, we thank you for who you are and how you come into us. And Lord, we just continue to surrender to your ideas, to your moves, to your walk for us. Lord, we ask you to lead us and guide us and just pour your wisdom and the things that we're to do into our lives, Lord, that you would just, you would be us in this temple. We thank you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.